Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Friday, May 13th, 2016, and on today's podcast, I'm going to give an account of why I believe the United States should withdraw from membership in the United Nations. As a presidential candidate, I have made this one of the cornerstones of my campaign. I have said it is one of the first things I would do if I were elected to withdraw the United States from the United Nations. So these are my thoughts on why that should be done. When the suggestion is made that the United States should regain its sovereignty and chart its own course, isolationism is usually the accusation. No one seriously maintains that the U.S. can remain isolated from the forces that agitate the world today, a world so interrelated in trade, finance, instantaneous communications, and so forth. The question then is how to deal with other nations while keeping our sovereignty, our freedom, and our independence intact. Can the U.S. keep its own laws, its own constitution, set its own policies, or do we surrender to the decisions and dictates of an international collective of nations? Many would love to see American nationhood fade into history. Unfortunately, our government today is riddled with such people. They fear not just the power of America, but the ideas that still make us the most powerful nation on earth. Those ideas serve as a contradiction to the way the rest of the world operates. American ideas would serve us even more if we were once again a free and independent nation. The overwhelming success of the U.S. politically, economically, culturally, and so forth depends upon a set of ideas, religious, political, and legal, that have set us free to worship, to think, and to act as free Americans. Those ideas have never been replicated anywhere else on earth. Material prosperity springs from that freedom, and it is a renewable resource as long as freedom remains. The ideas of America are not compatible with membership in the UN. The UN is world headquarters for the Church of Unbelieving Humanism. The fundamental doctrine of the UN is that the world should be a global collective, redistributing shares of material prosperity to every human on earth. That is a religious and not a political idea. Faith in God is replaced by faith in humanity. The UN is the sanctuary of the idolatry of man. To UN believers, its very name is sacred, inspiring awe and devotion. The earth is the great mother who produces some, but not enough. So rationing has to result. Some have to be taxed so rationing can occur and provide equal shares. Injuring the earth is the crime of injuring the great mother. This thought process takes them back to ancient pagan days of gods thought to be mythical, but in reality they are satanic. When the UN headquarters was built in 1946, a meditation room was included in which the only object is a rectangular black rock, symbol of the underworld thrust up from the world below. Collective action is the UN globalist strategy to weaken and isolate America. We are therefore more isolated in the UN than we would be out of it. The U.S. is isolated a little bit at a time, lest we awaken from our slumber and withdraw. Little by little, the Lilliputian strands are woven tighter and tighter around us. Within the overt doctrine of redistribution is concealed a hidden teaching, the doctrine of rationing. UN believers are driven by a desperate conviction that some people have too much. It is not so much that they want to give more to the have-nots out of compassion, no. They just have the gnawing feeling that everyone is using up too much of the earth's resources, except for the most primitive and backward tribes living on a subsistence level. They say that the advanced nations in their arrogance are injuring the earth, but the backward tribes are one with the earth. UN believers are essentially opposed to the central tenet of Western civilization, and that is why they have worked so hard to destroy it. That central tenet is that man is rational. He is composed of body and soul. They believe there is no essential difference between man and the animals, or man and the trees, man and the birds, snakes, and so forth. Human beings and their unruly desires have to be subordinated to the needs of the earth. For you see, the earth is the great mother. The exterior of UN belief is a facade of the rational organization, impressive documents full of political programs, budgets for peacekeeping, scientific, statistical studies, debates in the General Assembly, votes in the Security Council. But there is an esoteric doctrine behind the rationalist exterior. UN belief is a mystery religion that reveals its true doctrine to trusted initiates step by step, with the innermost secret known only to a handful of very powerful men and women. In conclusion, then, why do I believe the existence of the United Nations is an affront to liberty and human dignity? Well, I will get there by asking a series of 10 questions. The answer to those questions will give us the answer to why the existence of the United Nations is an affront to liberty and human dignity. Question number one, is it in the interest of the United States to adhere to the doctrine of the United Nations Charter that the inherent right to self-defense is superseded by resolutions of the Security Council? Number two, is it in the interest of the United States to support concepts of economic development that are based on social policy rather than market principles? Number three, is it in the interest of the United States to channel humanitarian assistance through multilateral agencies under the influence of globalist values rather than through U.S. agencies and private voluntary organizations that are guided by Western concepts of human dignity? Number four, is it in the interest of the United States to participate in multilateral disarmament programs rather than to deal directly with superpowers and rogue nations that actually threaten the peace? Is it in the interest of the United States to support ideological formulations of human rights based on rationalist egalitarianism rather than on the inherent rights endowed by God the Creator? Number six, is it in the interest of the United States to adhere to multilateral treaties on trade, environment, and human rights that require our country to accept decisions made by international bureaucrats not responsible to the American people? Number seven, is it in the interest of the United States to support a system of world law that does not recognize the common law precedents and procedures that are the guarantee of our liberty? Number eight, is it in the interest of the United States to support international institutions that propose to tax U.S. citizens and corporations in their financial transactions in order to redistribute wealth from the developed world to the third world? Number nine, is it in the interest of the United States to accept the burden of paying for U.N. peacekeeping not approved by Congress and to turn over U.S. military personnel to U.N. command and control? Number 10, is it in the interest of the United States to accept an obligation to pay U.N. assessments and accept schemes of funding that are independent of the daily financial will of member states who are unwilling to pay their share? The answer to all these questions is no. A truthful answer to every one of these questions is no. At least that's the way I see it, folks. Until next time, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.